listening to The Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three relatively grown men binge the iconic HBO series Sex and the City. So dust off those DVDs and grab yourself a white wine or even a Cosmopolitan and settle in. Take it away, boys.
Welcome to the Bradshaw Boys, a podcast where three guys watch their way through Sex and the City for the first time ever, mostly. I'm Corey Cavan.
I'm Kevin James Doyle.
My name is John Sieber. And Kevin, you were zoned out there a little bit. Everything okay?
You okay?
You know, we're just figuring out the way to make this technological jump in this modern podding world.
Yes, we're coming at you. Just to provide you some context, Kevin and I are in the same house, but we're recording on different devices so we can Zoom with Corey. So I am currently in probably like a 2x4 closet, and Kevin's in the room next to me, and Corey's back in Brooklyn.
That's true. Yeah, not in a closet and not close to you guys.
Not in the closet, not currently with us, but it feels good. It feels good to be back. We haven't done a pod. A normal, regular season pod in a little bit of time.
Yeah, it's been, I mean, I would say for us, it's been like a couple weeks at least since we watched Posted Always Six twice. That was our last one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
Yeah, it must have been early June or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We had some travel come up, so we banked a couple episodes, and it feels good. Feels good to be back and ready to chat about Sex and City. More importantly, ready to watch Sex and City with you bros again.
Dude, every time this happens, I get so excited that we get to watch again.
I know.
It's been a while, and I'm like glad we get to jump back in.
It's funny to finally get to hang out with someone face to face, like John in the same house. And then the second that we started the podcast, we had to separate ourselves by being in a closet in another room. It's almost like being at separate houses was better. There's a middle ground that is just, you know, that's been difficult to figure out, but we did it.
Yeah, yeah. we'll all want to be together or keep us apart from each other. None of this, some of us together, some of us apart nonsense.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that because I feel like if it was just you guys together and me here, it would feel really lonely.
No, absolutely not.
Thank you.
So what's going on? Is there anything to catch up everyone on?
I don't want to brag too much, but we got some pretty great response from our last burger episode. I feel like a lot of people came out of
really?
The woodwork
we
to
really
just say,
did.
Listen, we're always flying by the seat of our pants, figuring out how our takes are. And I don't even remember what our take was, but apparently it was good. We got a lot of good responses. And I think Burger's dead now.
Burger's, I think if I...
He died on a motorcycle accident. It's off screen, but he's not in the show anymore. I can tell you that much. I could feel it.
Dude, Burger's definitely not at GAT. That's for sure.
Yeah. He's
all the gear, all the time.
Yeah. For those who don't know, Kevin did recently just purchase a motorcycle. He's a real life Burger. And there's a club of motorcycle enthusiasts that refer to themselves as at GAT. At GAT, of course, refers to the gear all the time. So they're wearing hip pads, knee pads, arm or hand guards, helmets. You know, you should always wear a helmet, of course. It feels really weird to be in a state where they don't require helmets to see like some guy ride by on his Harley without a helmet, but
it's so weird.
Burger's definitely not at GAT.
No. Yeah. Burger has a lot of gear. He seems like he's a guy that's really into gear.
Oh, so you think he is at GAT? You think he is wearing all the gear all the time?
Oh, you think he's not? You said he's not at GAT. I thought you said he was.
I'm not convinced that Burger is at GAT.
He's definitely leather jacket
Does his leather jacket have spine support? Does it have elbow guards for a controlled slide?
This also might be that I'm very uninitiated into how much you can get into gear. I don't know a lot about that kind of gear.
Well, I'll tell you this. The second that you Google motorcycle one time, you get automatically subscribed to a newsletter that it's impossible to get out of your inbox for the rest of your life from revzilla.com. That's what I've been dealing with. Just five emails a day from revzilla.com. It is wild, though. I didn't even think about it, but we're out in the Hamptons, and I got a motorcycle, and I wrote an entire book that the central plot is a lost scrunchie. And so I feel like there's just a lot of place.
And for some reason, you're making us all call you hot dog now. It's like the craziest crap.
Yeah, it's weird. Every time you get a voicemail, you walk by your phone and give it a double bird and just flip out on it. And it's always from some toxic ex of yours.
Yeah, some girls, just any girl that walks past me is just like, hey. And I'm like, I'm a writer. I will say this.
The last one as of this watching... The last one that has been published out there of our podcast is episode 6. So it's before the post at Always Six Twice. And I think the thing that we had said that we were getting good feedback on was that we were like, Burger writing, I'm sorry, I can't, don't hate me. I think it was, we were saying the don't hate me thing was a serious bail.
Yes.
We were like, you know what?
Yeah.
Sometimes you're sorry. Sometimes you can't, but like, just to be like, don't hate me. It's like, own up to your choices.
Yeah.
I think that we said he was a sad boy.
Total sad boy. But also we said that he's the most well written, accurate portrayal of,
true.
Of like a regular man also like that most women have probably interacted with. I don't think many women like regularly date someone as cartoonish as Big or as outlandish as any Samantha's dates. But I guarantee you anyone who's listening to the podcast has a Burger story where they're like, I dated this guy, I was into him, and he just couldn't like get his shit together. And due to his own insecurities made me feel like a bad person. So that's what I think we were really hitting our stride in dissecting Burger.
You think anyone's dated anyone like Aiden that's just written exactly like Aiden in real life?
I think most people in SoCal have, right?
I'm sure. I think anyone that's been to a Temple of the Dog concert has dated someone like, or at least like stood behind someone like Aiden, who was not only too tall, but their head was giant.
Dude, that's me. At every concert I go to, I feel so, that's partly why I don't like concerts, because I'm always so insecure. I'm ruining everyone's night behind me.
Yeah.
Because
I will say, yeah. No, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Because I'm always the guy. I'm like a foot shorter than you. So I can imagine.
Wait, what was that?
I wanted to encourage you, Kevin, to let you know that you were in fact ruining a bunch of people's experience at the concert.
I hear it. They sigh every single time I walk in front of them. They just go, sorry.
But John, you've made it to where like seeing you like that makes me, when I see other tall people, I'm like, it's not their fault for being tall. You know?
Yeah.
Like you, I know that you actually care about it.
But I also, when I go to concerts, I dress like the guy from The Pickup Artist. I wear a huge purple felt fedora and.
Oh, you're peacocking.
Yeah. Well, you know, I just want to be as tall as possible.
That's true. I see that. Yeah,
that's why you always wear that Cat in the Hat hat.
Exactly. You know? Dude, when I go out, I want to look as much like Abraham Lincoln as possible.
How are you guys feeling about the end? Not the end is near, but it's like, you know, we're cruising right along.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like we've had people ask us this in letters, in handwritten letters sealed with a wax seal. No. And like emails and tweets and stuff. And, it's weird. It's coming, but I also feel like the way that since we watch it once a week, I still feel like we have like 12 weeks left.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be a while, you know? And I know that like, maybe I'm not the best at planning ahead. So maybe I need to emotionally prepare myself for it, but I'm excited to see what happens. It is going to be weird when we finish it. And it's like, oh shoot, that's done. Like, I feel like I'm sound like the person that it's the beginning of senior year right now. And I'm like, whatever, man, we got the whole year.
Yeah.
And it's just going to fly by. It's going to be the night before graduation, and I'm going to be like, oh shoot, I got to get a job.
Yeah.
You know?
We're going to write a secret episode. We're not going to do Sex and the City 3, but I think if we wrote another episode that was like a lost episode, I bet we could get a staged reading going, a Zoom event with most 3 out of the 4 girls. I bet we could do it.
That would be insane.
That'd be great.
And then it wouldn't be done. It wouldn't be done. We'd be like, we have one more episode left, written by the boys.
Written by three guys who are extremely unqualified to write an episode of Sex and the City.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
If we do that, yeah, send us ideas. Send us ideas for things you want in the episode. Do that. If you're listening right now, do that. Send us ideas for what you want in that episode.
I think it is worth saying, you know, we haven't made an official announcement. We haven't taken an official stance, but the end of the second movie will not spell the end of the Bradshaw Boys. We're cooking something else up. We want to continue to exist in your ears. We want to continue to engage, interact, and experience something with you. We're not sure exactly what that is yet, but rest assured, just in 12 short weeks time, we're not hanging up the robes and calling it quits just yet.
Yeah. Just our podcast, your ears are Sam Jones' vagina, and our podcast is Smith doing the Texas oil drill. Okay. That is, that will continue
for a long, long, enjoyable time.
It's going to be pleasurable, but sometimes it's going to be uncomfortable. All right. But
there's going to be a learning curve.
And I guess if you're actually referring to the Texas oil drill, then that means we're going to do a fiction podcast because no one's ever done the Texas oil drill in real life.
Not in real life. It's going to be complete fiction.
Yeah.
I did want to say two bits of business that I think we owe it to our listeners. We just got like this deluge of reviews the other day, and I want to say thank you to everybody. We got like, usually they trickle in, but we got like 7 in one day. So I want to thank Andy 41, Johnson Boo, Tack and Violet, Bunny's Chanel suit. That's one of the
that's so good.
Catherine Ashley, Rachel Rose, Girl on the Go. And she, the title of Girl on the Go, who came to our live show, the title of her review is Drilling Me Softly.
Oh, wow.
And Dan Tompkins and SD Lover and Sledge Mara. And guess what? Multiple of them called us the Tangent Boys and said they love the tangents.
Well, did they give us 2-star reviews or 5-star reviews?
2-star tangents?
They mentioned the tangents. They gave it 1-star and they reported us to Apple.
Wow.
We got an email from Tim Cook. But no, thank you for everyone for all those reviews. They were super funny, and we'll post them on our Instagram. But means a lot that you did that, and they were also like legit hilarious. So thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We should shout out the other people that we got like more Patreon followers than we've gotten since we started the Patreon recently, and we have put up more episodes there. So if you want other episodes, go and sign up for the Bradshaw Boys on Patreon. It is not that expensive, and you get just more nonsense like this, and it's super fun. But it's really been like awesome having you there because we are having so much fun recording the extra Patreon episodes.
That's right.
So much fun.
And thank our you. Next Patreon episode is fucking funny.
Oh, it is. It's good.
It's great.
John, tell them what it is, because it was your idea, and then we'll get into the episode.
Okay, so there's a podcast called Story Break. Shout out to Story Break. I've really been enjoying it. It's where three Hollywood writers write a movie pitch based off of a random idea. So they'll do as anything. They'll do Mambo Number 5, the movie. They'll do Garlic Salt, the movie, the Kellogg Cinematic Universe. And they just write a silly movie based off of some silly idea. So we decided to story break an episode where the three of us put our heads together. We rolled random dice to choose a season and an episode number. And we wrote, I believe, a season one episode 8 episode in which some really great stuff happens. So check it out. But as far as this week, we are on season 6, episode 8, The Catch.
The Catch.
Ooh.
Any ideas as to what The Catch is all about?
I wonder if, I don't know. You know, it's tough because I was going to say one of them like meets a catch, but Carrie is out of a relationship and Samantha is pretty solidly in one. Charlotte's in one. I don't know who they're going to meet that's a catch.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's a bottle episode that takes place completely on a boat in Sag Harbor. And they're just like, they get into crabbing and lobsters. And
that's what it is.
They go to Alaska and just put on some hardy jackets and fish king crab.
Yeah, Carrie's just like, I need to get laid. And they hop on a train, but it like the switch goes and then they end up in Alaska. And then they're just, and then it's basically just like that simple life Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie thing. It's that, but for Sex in the City in Alaska.
I couldn't help but wonder, what if you called me Ishmael?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude. Stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
Shout out to Moby Dick. All right, let's watch the catch. We'll be back. Right. And yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be fun to watch the episode.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Episode 82, The Catch. Harry finds that a casual fling with Harry's best friend is a pain in the neck. Miranda is scared of meeting Steve's new girlfriend. After Harry accidentally sees Charlotte in her wedding dress before the big day, she is convinced their wedding is cursed. Self-sufficient Samantha struggles without her man around. And now, back to the boys.
And we're back.
Hey, hava, everybody.
Nagila hava, nagila hava.
Great episode. That was
episode.
That was so much fun.
That was a horror of an episode.
That was just a fastball down the line. They knew what they were going after. They knocked it out of the park. And it was just yeah, it was just one of those ones.
That episode performed as well as Howie, his sexual exploits. It was just
good lord.
It was just great, fun, sensual.
It's true. You know, we talk about the Texas oil driller, but it's impressive to talk about the Portland jackhammer. Is what Howie was bringing to the team of Sex and the City. He just rocked it,
dude.
That you was. Know how, you said that guy's, he's a, what's the deal with Howie? Let me get a Howie.
He's a
Howie
comedian. Actor? His name's Brian Callen. He has a very successful podcast called The Fighter and the Kid. And he's a pretty big,
I recognized him.
He's a pretty big bro. He's like a big, like Joe Rogan. I don't know. I feel like I would never interact with that person, even though I'm a comedian with a podcast as well. So it's probably not good idea. He just seems like, based on the crew he hangs out with, I bet he's probably, I don't know, him and his friends probably fuck like that.
You know what's interesting?
At least have before. I don't know. I'm just
here's. Well, a few things about him. One, I know why he's kind of familiar. He was one of the first ever cast members on Mad TV, and I feel like I've seen Mad TV sketches with him before. I think, and then also
he just had a show that was on for a few seasons.
Really?
Yeah.
It says, I mean, yeah, everybody that comes up is like the people that are like, it's like people also search for, it's like Rogan and Joe Rogan, Theo Vaughn, a lot of people in that. He also wrote a book called Complicated Apes. Oh. Complicated Apes.
I just felt like, I mean, I'm no expert, but I feel like his lines felt very forced. His jokes just felt different.
I thought that too, man. There was something about, we talk about this like, but like sometimes when they're like, so-and-so is funny, like there was a lot of stuff where they were laughing and it was like, clearly it's like a show and they're written to laugh. But all those things, I was like, I feel like if you threw out like more than two of those, people would be like, all right, jokester.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they were giving him a lot of grace.
Totally.
Well, I think that's why it wasn't that complicated to be like, oh, you know, like, after it's done, it's like, oh, if that's how he has sex, this will be easy. It's not just like, he was such a great guy. It's like, kind of a well-written character because it is like the person that it's like, I feel like we've met people like that at weddings that it's like, holy crap, this person's awesome. But it's because you only get to see him for 2 days. If you were around him for 4 years, right, you wouldn't be friends with him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's why like the groom or someone is like, yeah, I went to college with that guy, but we haven't hung out in like 12 years.
Right.
But I had to invite him to the wedding.
It's funny.
He's like one of the old time friends.
It's funny that we were like, Berger's one of the most well-written, accurate male characters. And then they throw a Howie in there. And it's like, I'm sure everyone that's ever been to a wedding has brushed shoulders with a Howie before. I know. I certainly have.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's do a quick review.
Yeah.
Just a quick Howie note. I would say that it would always be that it makes total sense to me that the person that has sex like that is also the person to like not take notes. Like that would have been a perfect thing time to just be like, why? But even if she said like, you kind of just went a little too fast and gave me a backache, he wouldn't be like, man, I should change up my game. He's just like, a lot of girls really like this.
Yeah.
No girls ever liked it, you know?
Right.
Yeah, he would have a very hard time self-reflecting on himself. And I could totally... That's a classic Howie maneuver. Let's go through what happened here. So the through line of the episode is, when did it stop being so fun? When did it stop being fun and start being scary? That was kind of that was what she wrote when she was writing her paper on doing the trapeze. And the entire episode revolved around the catch. Some of the storylines did a little bit better job with that. Like, for instance, Samantha missing Jarrett all revolved around her not being able to latch her bracelet correctly. Charlotte.
You can't win them all.
Charlotte's catch was she was really kind of being a pisser about her wedding, and she wanted to be perfect, but she was kind of missing the whole point because she was too obsessed with it being perfect. Miranda's, I thought, was actually the best use of the phrase. She was having to meet Debbie, Steve's boyfriend, and the catch was letting go of Steve and Debbie, and then Carrie's, of course, was the trapeze that she was writing a piece for, but meeting Howie at the wedding and trying to just enjoy and have fun with a one-night stand, a quick rendezvous. So where do you want to start?
Let's start with Samantha.
Yeah. Great. So the catch, wow, look at that. The catch is her catching all her zippers and clasps on things.
Yeah.
And needing help with them.
Really it was her realizing that she was, missing Smith. The catch of not having a man around is that you get your zippers and your bracelets stuck.
Yeah.
Which is that like there's a lot of women in this world and men that live alone and have clothing with difficult clasps and zippers. Is this like really that large of an issue that I've just kind of missed out on?
Do you know what's funny? When you said that, when you said girls and guys, because it's usually girls, and the only guys that came to mind right then was just someone that was like big Hot Topic person. There's a lot of guys out there with like clasps and zippers.
Hey, like, you know what? Like everyone wears whatever they want. And I'm totally I'm supportive of that. But like, I just don't have a lot of clothing that like requires clasps and latches. Like the most difficult thing I have to do is once every 10 years tie a bow tie. That is the extent of
yep.
my clothing woes. But yeah. is that like a thing like that a lot of single individuals wrestle with?
I mean, as three guys, we don't really ever have to deal with this. So I don't want to speak for something that I don't understand, but the whole like, can you zip me up in a dress thing is a trope in movies and everything. And I can imagine it's a real thing. If you got to put on a dress as a woman and get zipped up, like, you know, getting you need someone to help you do that. I'm guessing that it's like not the most impossible thing, because we know a lot of women who live alone and
yeah.
manage to show up at the weddings we go to and they're zipped up.
But then again, you know, if like most times you go to a wedding, you're at like a, most people are like staying at like a hotel and there's like probably someone there to like,
there's one dude who always knows how to tie a bow tie and he ends up tying everyone.
Yeah. And he has no time to get pictures. He just spends all his time. Well, I guess I would say this. I don't want to go full like I feel like the Samantha storyline was a really good, it could have been a really great metaphor that was kind of executed a bit shallowly.
Yeah.
Because all it would have taken was like one moment where it takes like, oh, okay, like, get it, you need a like it's all obvious, but it would have been such a great story if there was just one moment where she was just like, she never acknowledged that she wanted Smith there. It was like there was never like the twist of her being like reached for someone's hand and realized it's a guy that she doesn't care about, and she's like, oh, never mind, I'll just, you know, like,
yeah,
it didn't totally connect. And maybe that's where she's at with Smith right now, but I feel like the setup for her storyline wouldn't have been as bad if they just added a tiny bit of depth to it emotionally as a character.
I agree. I also think you need to look at this with a little bit of a clearer head. I know you're really upset that she doesn't do karaoke, as that is like your thing. So I think you might be a little bit more angry than the rest of us.
If she did do karaoke, what would her song be?
That's a great question.
I have mine.
Hers would be Tenacious D, Fuck Me Gently.
I disagree with that. I think she'd want to be Texas Oil Drilled.
No, because at the end of it, she would get to sing, but sometimes you got to fuck me hard. She would just belt that out. And you know, she needs.
Okay, true.
What do you think, Corey?
True. I think If I Could Turn Back Time by Cher, I could just see Samantha in her Samantha voice standing up being like, if I could turn back time. I just feel like she would bring the house down and no one would expect it.
I feel like she would sing something from like Aladdin. Like I think she'd like Magic Carpet Ride. Or was that, what's the song called? Whole New World?
I was like Magic Carpet Ride by Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
I think like to dream out.
Maybe sing another Steppenwolf song, which is Born to Be Wild, but it's like a little.
Yeah,
I feel like
that's true.
No, she'd sing. Like, she'd sing. It's raining men. Hallelujah.
She'd probably do that, or she would go straight into My Neck, My Back. She'd go right into that.
Yeah,
100%. That would be hers.
Just full Khalees.
All right. Yeah. What would Miranda's karaoke song be?
That's not Khalees, is it?
What would Miranda's karaoke song be?
Wait, just before it's done, I feel like Charlotte would be like, what are those lyrics? Sweetheart, if he's not licking your crack, you're doing something wrong. My pussy and my crack.
Oh, dude, we have to do something on Instagram where we put up what karaoke songs are they on.
Yes, totally. Yeah.
I feel like Charlotte's would be Barbie Girl by Aqua.
Okay, I can see that.
That's a good one. I could do that.
I don't know. I'm not a karaoke expert. That karaoke's Kevin's thing. I feel like you could make a way better choice as to what everyone's karaoke song would be.
I could see Miranda just doing like a full on, like half drunken scream sing of an Oasis pub song.
Yeah, I could see that. Or I could see her somehow doing like Basket Case by Green Day.
I also feel like I could see Miranda showing up with an instrument too and having a lyrical break in which she's just jamming out on her harmonica or something.
That could would be pretty impressive.
I could see Charlotte going last, like it's like the end of the episode and they're like, is Charlotte even going to go? And then all of a sudden there's just like a crowd of people and it just spreads and you just hear like, dun, dun, gang, ding, 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 gang. And then Charlotte just crushes Eminem.
Lose yourself.
Lose herself.
Dude. Or she just comes out in full Gene Simmons Kiss makeup.
Dude, Charlotte, no. Charlotte York, mom spaghetti just fucked it up.
All right. And Carrie, what's Carrie singing?
Carrie would sing Yesterday by the Beatles and like bring the bar down.
That's good. We'll put this question, or
Carrie would just do tons of Broadway.
Yeah.
She would grab Stanford and they would do like a bunch of Broadway tunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll put this up on Instagram and see if you all have any great ideas about karaoke songs.
Wait, John, do you want to give us
karaoke?
Wait, oh no,
what's that?
Karaoke. Sorry. So wait, are we done with Samantha?
We were talking about Samantha. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like it was a good storyline. It just needed like a little bit more depth to really like make it an equal part to the rest of them, I think.
Yeah. I feel like we always have the soft one and that was the softer one. Although I thought her like acting with Smith at the beginning was interesting. I wonder what Gus Van Sant movie Smith is going to be in.
I have no idea.
A remake of My Own Private Idaho.
Is that what it is? I could see that.
I could definitely see him in Corey, be careful with that water. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of criticism on our last episode.
That's right.
I just checked the Instagram just now to put a note in.
I saw you put up a thing saying that, but you did say that if people don't pay for the podcast, we're allowed to drink as much as we want. On there.
Yeah. There was someone that was just.
I think you should just put in some Listerine and gargle it on the microphone for a couple minutes.
I should. No, you know what I'm going to do at the beginning of every podcast? I'm going to put in three packages of Pop Rocks in my mouth and just let them go the whole episode.
ASMR podcast. Let's talk about let's talk about Miranda's storyline. I really liked Miranda's storyline and I thought the scene of her under the bed was hilarious.
Do you also think Bong Joon-ho from Parasite is going to be like, so I saw this episode of Sex and the City and that's where I got the idea. It was just like the exact
spoiler
same thing.
Alert.
It just always works. That shot so always good. Works.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But Magda also, Miranda is not home.
Yeah.
Miranda is not home. I loved it.
Yeah. I loved it. It was great.
Kevin.
I'm laughing now because you know we're video recording this, yeah, Kevin.
And Kevin just,
Kevin was just drinking water and then he just made a face at the camera like, uh-oh.
It was literally the same face that Carrie made when Howie looked up at her and said, fuck you.
Kevin was just also drinking water.
I was like, we're going to get in trouble. We're going to get in trouble by our fans. We love y'all. Sorry.
We love you. We love you very much.
Yeah, I love that shot. Do you think that, what do you think about Miranda? Do you think she should meet Debbie? Do you think she should not be thrilled about meeting Debbie? Do you think she acted appropriately? I want to break down how she responded to the Debbie situation.
Who wants to go first? I'll go first.
You go first.
I think that, first of all, the whole Miranda episode, Miranda looked great then.
Yeah.
She was like super dressed up, which I think played well into the like lint under the table thing. She was smoking.
Absolute fox.
Yeah. And, you know, I think she probably needs to meet Debbie. If for anything, I mean, like for comedic stuff, it's funny that she's not, you know, and it's funny that Miranda's like so principled and like confrontational and she's like backing off of this, so it shows how much it bothers her. But I feel like she definitely needs to meet Debbie because Debbie's like around her kid all the time. You just have some random woman who Steve is probably being like, hey, hold hold Brady while I go to the bodega. So it's like, you need to meet this woman. Mm. Like, and you need, and also for your own, even though it's probably, it's not going to be her closure. You just need to be like, hey, this is like happening. So I think she needs to do that.
I think at first I was like, why is she being a baby about it? But I, you know, it's, we haven't watched an episode for a few weeks and I had to remind myself that she's in love with Steve. So it's not seeing this person that's around a kid. It's like this person that gets to be with the person that I love.
Right.
And that made it make a little more sense, especially, I don't know. That would be intense. She's got to, you know, she's got to be the maid of honor. She has, I don't know, probably with work a lot on her plate. And she's like, the last thing I need is for someone to walk in and be like way prettier than me or way skinnier mm-hmm. or way like, or just whatever. It doesn't matter what she's like. She's going to touch on her insecurities in some way. You know what I mean? Mm. Or like be way more made up and because she doesn't have to like raise a kid. So I feel like in a way she's just protecting herself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from what she knows is gonna suck. But at a certain point, you know, that goes along with her not telling Steve that she loves
him. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, those go hand in hand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm in the camp that I think Miranda needs to tell Steve about her feelings. That's like the most important issue that she needs to get out, obviously. But I think she also just needs to be more communicative with him as a whole. I think she's just well within her right to be like, listen, Steve, I have no desire to meet Debbie. Like I'm glad you're happy. But I don't need to see her. That's your thing. This is my thing. Brady is someone that we share, but I don't need to like be interacting with her.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was an interesting thing. And I thought for sure, like she was looking so good in that dress. She was all done up. She was like dressed to the nines. I thought for sure, like she would want, if there was a time to meet Debbie, it's like definitely when you're about to go to a wedding and you look incredible rather than when you're just like sitting on your couch crushing Chinese food. So
yeah. Or when you're just like on a sweaty subway and you run into someone and then you're like, oh, hey,
yeah,
now we have to talk.
Isn't it interesting that like the classic Miranda storyline, I think in times past would be that Steve finds her and then she crawls out and it's like, oh, I was looking for Brady's toy. And then she has dust bunnies all over. And it's interesting from a writing perspective, they kind of saved her from some humiliation here that totally. She usually is the subject of and always plays well. And we always enjoy it. But I really feel it was interesting. I was like, please don't find her.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't want that for her, you know?
Yeah. Totally. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she still got to have that with like the visual of Magda being like, she's like, it's pretty dusty down there. So it's not like she was like, looked like a champ, but it was interesting you rooting for a character to like, just be like, come on, we care about you. We don't want you to.
Yeah. I think season two or three, they like Debbie definitely finds Miranda and there's like this super awkward interaction between the two of them. But it was really nice that she kind of got away with it.
Yeah. Although I do want to point out the, and it's all, I think this because it touches on her like biggest insecurities, but how she like threw Magda under the bus pretty hard that she was like, it's pretty dusty under there. You probably need to clean that. And then I was like, what a way to just
think about
like,
that.
Step on the people that clean your house to be like, hey, by the way, I mean, and like, you know, we've said she's going through a lot, but it's like, I just performed an act of cowardice, but you better clean under the bed.
Yeah.
Next time I hear some girl just be like,
but I bet there's a redemption I'm of that with Magda.
Next time I hear someone just be like, I'm totally a Miranda and everybody should be a Miranda. I'm going to be like, oh yeah, you're a fucking bitch to your housekeeper. You have a housekeeper and you're just like, clean up under the bed.
Yeah.
you army crawl under your bed and then show the dust bunnies on your stomach and be like, see this? Inappropriate.
Do you know what your hourly rate is? go lie for me. Lie to my father and my children now.
It's so funny. Let's talk about Carrie's storyline. We kind of already dissected Howie. Have any of you ever done the trapeze before?
No, I've seen it for years. I've always wondered what it was like. You guys, it was like, is it still there on the West Side Highway?
Chelsea Piers,
yeah.
I'm not sure. There's a big like trapeze thing at some of the camps out in the Hamptons, and I know Katie has done the trapeze before. So shout out to Katie. But yeah, I've never done the trapeze. I don't know. It doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. It doesn't seem.
I always kind of wanted to. It was like one of those like first couple of years in New York thing that like you see things, you're like, can you believe they have a circus camp here? I got to do that. It's like that. That's like how it was when I found out about the club bed. I was like, I got to go to bed or duvet or whatever.
I think it was definitely a bold choice of the writing of it being like, it's all going to revolve around this thing. It made more sense when she was like, I'm doing it for this, like writing this article.
Yeah.
Cause at first I was like, and then I do have to say the most abrasive moment for me in the entire series, even more than Miranda getting jizzed on in a party, was just the Michelle Branch music that pops in at the end. I was like,
dude,
which that was actually, I don't hate Michelle Branch, but that was the equivalent. That sound cue was the equivalent of me getting some stranger's cum just like shot in the face. I enjoyed it that much.
If you think that's what it is, well, then you just wait till we actually shoot that happening to you and then we edit it and put the Michelle Branch music underneath that clip. You just wait till we put that on Instagram and that's what, then they just delete our Instagram and that's the end of the Bradshaw Boys.
Then we win. That's when we're going to shut the podcast down when that happens.
Full circle, Bradshaw Boys.
This is how I win.
I disagree.
Michelle Branch, I do this podcast and we had this joke where basically your sound cue is like getting jizzed on my face. Please leave. Is Michelle Branch still doing stuff?
I don't know. I'll look that up for you right now.
I'm not a Michelle Branch
John's
expert.
Not a big music guy.
Yeah, so I don't. I'm
not
the wrong
a big
person.
Branch head.
I'm not a Branch boy.
the Bradshaw Boys. But wait, so we're on
Carrie.
We're on full Carrie. So that was the first thing. Then we've already talked about how she meets Howie. Also, what a name, Howie. Do you guys know anyone named Howie in real life?
I mean,
I'm close personal
Howie's
friends with Howie Mandel.
Are you really? I'm friends with Howie Long, the NFL star.
Are Howie's just Howard's?
I think Howie's have to just be Howard's.
All
Howie's
are Howard's, but not all Howard's are Howie's.
I know a Howard.
So you know Howie.
I guess I do know Howie.
Text him. Ask him if he goes by Howie.
Okay.
Right now. Tell him what he says.
I'm going to see if he's in my phone still.
If you're listening to this podcast and you know a Howard, text him.
And see if they're a Howie.
And ask him if they've ever been called Howie.
Yep.
I don't know if I have. Michelle Branch what?
She just got married last year. She's married to the dude for the freaking Black Keys.
What?
She's married to Patrick Carney, of the drummer of the Black Keys, Michelle Branch is.
All right. So there's this guy named Howard. I'm not going to say his last name, Howard P, but he's the only Howard in my phone. And he sublet my apartment 9 years ago. Should I text him and say,
yes. What's up, Howie? Text him and say, what's up, Howie? You hump like a jackrabbit?
Also, the other Howie that we have not, you know, the elephant in the room, Howie. Well, go ahead. Should you say what?
I don't know. I don't want to open this can of text worms.
Okay.
Do you remember, Kevin, when we did it, when you and I did a benefit comedy show and we did a bit with the audience and we were like, we will go through our phone and we'll find someone who's like a, he's like a contact and you can tell us whoever it is and we have to call them right now and ask them to give money to this charity.
Yeah.
And one of us found a person. It was like someone we were trying to get on something that
we
shouldn't.
Who did
we call? It was, I'm not going to say who it was, but it was someone who had been on the show Saturday Night Live at some point. And I think we had their phone number so that we could, I think, try to get them on a comedy show, and we called them and it went straight to voicemail.
Did they answer?
We were like, hey, we're, no, they never answered.
Did they call back?
That was like the dumbest humble brag we've ever done, right?
That's
there.
That's so messed up they didn't give to that charity. That's so messed
pretty
up
bad
that Eddie
didn't
Murphy
give
didn't
to
give
charity,
to that charity.
I know. I know. It was really stupid.
So all now right. You have to call him and ask him to be a Patreon right now, live on air.
All right. Hey, also Howard Schultz. He's a Howie.
He is.
Howie Schultz. Howie Schultz.
Howie Schultz. I think Carrie's, I don't know, her storyline felt like a little bit light, which is really, it's really weird when she's not in a relationship or not going after a relationship. Her
storylines feel like, the Carrie one-off guy stories are weird.
Kind of, I don't know, kind of vapid, I guess. Is that the right word?
John.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I mean, solid friend. She showed up for Charlotte in a strong way to be like, hey, get out of your, she was like full on Miranda in that bathroom scene with Charlotte.
Totally. I gotta give Carrie and Anthony mad props in this episode. I think both of them were incredible friends. And I noticed that Anthony was sitting closest to Charlotte at the wedding. So I wonder if he had some sort of position of honor. And Miranda gave the speech, but Carrie definitely showed up big time to the wedding tears where Charlotte was crying that her wedding was getting ruined and gave her like the perfect pep talk. I wonder, my question is, if Carrie was in a relationship with someone, whether it was Berger, Aiden, or Big, do you think she would have been able to give that same pep talk? Or do you think she would have just cornered Charlotte and complained about her relationship?
You know, the only thing that makes Carrie a good friend is the good old Portland jackhammer the night before. She needs to have like a sprained back and just she needs to get howied and she becomes the best friend.
Yeah, it's true. It's humbling to her.
I think
this like
I think
her
you're
neck
right.
is all messed up.
I slightly resent the fact that I tried to stand up for Carrie and then you kind of definitely nailed it, that it was just like, what's the missing link? It's the fact that she is able to focus on her friends and not on her love life. And that's why I think that's
at the end of the wedding, when they're all dancing and supposed to be celebrating, she does turn to Stanford and say, do you think everyone here thinks I'm a whore? Do you think everyone knows that I slept with him? Instead of being like super, I mean, that might be a bit of a stretch on my Carrie hatred, but
that's a stretch because at a wedding, there's 4 hours and there's plenty of time to be like, who's that over there? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I know.
But I think you're right.
I think if Big was at that wedding with her, there would have been no room for her to console Charlotte because there would have been greater Big drama between her and Big that she would have needed to hash out. I mean, just look at the first wedding that she went to with Charlotte. The perfect wedding that in which, you know, she had to tell Aiden the night before that she cheated on, or the like 10 minutes before the wedding that she cheated on him and like just get in a toughie. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and then she had to talk about Trey and talk to Charlotte right before she walked down the aisle.
Yeah.
And be like, well, maybe he just masturbated.
Before we run out of time, I want to say whenever there is... they went thin on a few of the girls' characters' storylines, but whenever they kind of handled six characters because they had in Anthony and Stanford, and both of them just such great elements to, because one of the things that I think their characters do the best is they give the girls a different character to talk off of rather than just Charlotte talking to Miranda, Samantha talking to Carrie, and that and getting out of that rhythm, not just because like they're gay characters or gay guys or whatever, but because it's just like a different flavor of person that you only see every once in a while. So that scene with Anthony and Charlotte was just so good.
Oh, dude, it was like one of my favorite scenes where they like get the newspaper, and that whole thing with the ink stain was so funny.
Yep.
That was actually with Harry the day of the wedding. It was the night before where they get confirmed by the New York Times that they're going to be in the wedding episode or edition. She's wearing her dress. They're dancing around. It was so fun.
Yeah, it was great. And then her finding the ink stain, and then her being like, I look like Hitler. I'm going to look like Hitler at a Jewish wedding.
That was funny. That was really
also,
good.
Also, man, they really, I don't know if we're still technically on Carrie or not, but I do think the Charlotte, I mean, man, they doubled down on the Charlotte, like, imperfect wedding, but I love that they really also doubled down on just Harry being Harry. I mean, you think about it, like, it wasn't his fault, but he did walk in and see the dress before, and he's just like, what's the big deal? And then he spilled wine on her dress in the ceremony. It's like he's full cream cheese poppy all the time. He's always bumbling around, and I think he'll continue to do that. And it's great. He's like likable, but he's always bumbling around. He introduces Howie the Jackrabbit to Carrie, and he's like very non-subtle about the introduction.
Yeah.
Harry's just like always has stuff like that going on.
How do you think Harry and Howie met?
Great question.
College, law school. Howie probably seems like a major law school bro. That's just like,
yeah, that's a good point.
That's like, I close cases as hard as I fuck girls. One time because they never call me back.
I kind of feel like they were like Howie was like in New York for some reason, and he cannot miss a workout, so he was at SoulCycle, and Harry was getting bagels, you know, at the bagel store, and Howie was like post workout getting bagels, and they just really hit it off.
I think what happened is they're both so particular about their bagels that Howie he opened up the packaging of his bagel, and then one caper fell off, and then Harry looked down and like went to grab it, and then they both like grabbed on the floor the caper at the same time, and then like looked up at each other, and then realized they were like best friends forever over just like this one caper. And then that was it. They've been friends ever since.
Do you think maybe Harry gave Howie the idea of the rabbit because he like Harry was like, Charlotte, my fiance has got this sex toy named the rabbit, and she's just obsessed with it. And then the light bulb went off in Howie's head, and he's just like, oh, I need to change my sex game.
I'm gonna be the rabbit now. No,
he's more like the Sabian.
Do you know what the Sabian is, John? Explain that to him.
I don't know what the Sabian is.
It's a Howard Stern thing.
It's a Howie Stern thing.
Oh, yeah. Howie Stern.
What is that?
It's like a pummel horse. It's like a pummel horse, like in
gymnastics. But
it's like basically like this thing that that Howard Stern would like. I mean, he didn't invent it, but they would like have one in his studio, and like someone sits on it and it just vibrates like crazy. It's like a vibrating sex seat. And you'd always be like, yeah, let's get someone on the Sabian. Someone get on the Sabian right now.
Would Baba Booey hop on there?
I don't know if he ever did.
Girls and porn stars women. And stuff get on
usually there. Women that he would have on there.
Got it.
But I bet there was like, it was probably girls that have been like, imagine, listen, we have to put this out here to our listeners. I know it seems like it to me, it seems like Howie's a one-off character, but I bet if ladies spoke up, they'd be like, no, I think there's like 45% of men that fuck that way. They're just like, no,
dude,
yeah, she loves it.
I will say, when that scene happened and I saw it, it was so abrupt. I think I audibly was like, oh my gosh, but it looked terrible.
It is interesting because if that was Samantha in Carrie's place, she probably would have been loving it. But there have been several. I mean, granted, I don't think Howie was a good lovemaker. I think he missed all of the. He probably missed all of the pregame. Like he wasn't taking care of business. But there have been several scenes where Samantha is getting jackhammered and she is just going crazy.
Howie definitely. They cut the end of the wedding where there's a bunch of guys standing around talking about a clitoris, and he's like, "What's that?" That's in the deleted scenes. And he's like, no, that's not a thing. That's made up. That's a conspiracy theory. It's not just that it's rough. It's that it's like, it's bad. It's just
Carrie said it. It's just like he's masturbating with a girl.
Actually a really great analogy. Really great line. It was also funny to me that Stanford was like, straight men are still allowed to have sex that way. Which when he said that, I was like, does he mean that gay men do have sex that way? Or was he just like, that's still going on? I couldn't tell which one that he meant.
But I think what I was saying is I think Samantha, there's probably a time and a place for Samantha wanting that. I think Howie's issues is he's probably missing the cues of the woman, the cues, the vibe that would lead up to an experience like that, and probably just like goes straight from 0 to 60 and do full on Vibratron mode.
Also, do you think that he kind of this wasn't even just like a Howie mistake, but I think if you're going to do a wedding, if you're going to get introduced to someone at a wedding and go for that, I think it's a really risky move to do it the night
before the wedding. Agreed.
You do it the night of the wedding. You all go out after the wedding. Everyone, you know, goes and get the wedding party, gets drinks. You don't stretch it out for a whole weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
Well, I feel like we could talk about Howie for a very long time. I feel like we could do a podcast within a podcast on that bloke, but it's time for our Cosmo rating. It's we watched the episode. I enjoyed it, but I want to give it a 1 to 5 Cosmos with you bros.
Yeah, I would like to do that as well.
Everyone got it locked in?
I got mine locked in.
All right.
Ready.
3, 2, 1. 3.75. Oh, wow. Okay. I was the lowest at 3.75. I really liked that episode. I laughed actually a whole bunch. I feel like the Samantha storyline basically did not exist. I did like Anthony and I did like Stanford a whole bunch. And I still feel, and I know I sound like the worst human being of all time, but when Carrie is not in a relationship or going after a relationship, something feels very off with the show. Mm. It feels very like season 1 or 2 of her to find herself in a situation like that. She's too intelligent to be in a situation like that. And she got peer pressured by her friends to be like, go talk to Howie. She knew it wasn't the right thing. We as the viewers knew it wasn't the right thing. And that's why I think it was extra uncomfortable for her to be in a situation like that and to end up getting back pain. Listen, I suffer from back pain, and so I can relate to Carrie. So it was a good episode. I stand behind my 3.75.
Okay. I was the middle rating, so I go second. I gave 4.25. I thought it was really good, and I think we're in what you probably get in Prime Season 6, where it's just like, it looked great. There's a lot of glitz and glamour. Like, it's like, you've got just some like really good set pieces. Like the costuming was great. Miranda looked great. Miranda looked smoking at the wedding too. We didn't even talk about that. Like, she looked fantastic at the wedding. Mm-hmm. And it was a really funny episode. Like, even the thing when Miranda's like speech caught on fire, like, we didn't talk about that. That was funny. And I like laughed out loud at like some of the Carrie lines. I thought Sarah Jessica Parker was like, did great comedic acting in it. I just feel like I didn't want to go super high on it because I feel like, you're right, like, there were some things that felt kind of lacking, John. But I do think like we got Stanford and Anthony, which is great. I think that New York Times moment with the like smudge is like actually a pretty big moment of the show. So we got like kind of a good.
Yeah, that was a great part. Maybe I went too low.
But, you know, like, the Howie thing is a little throwaway. I think we got a really good Magda moment and some good Miranda depth.
Yeah. I also just miss watching these episodes with you bros in person. All of us in the same room. It's a lot more electric that way.
Yeah. I get it. Boogie, woogie, woogie. It's electric. Yeah, so I don't know. I thought it was good, but not super, super high up for me. Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I give it 4.5 probably because you bros watch it by yourself. I got to watch it in John's bedroom with Katie, his wife. We were packed on a bed, and it was kind of uncomfortable. So John went downstairs to watch it, and it was just me and Katie having just like a gal's date
Yeah.
Just watching, laughing to Sex in the City. And it was just, and it was a lot of fun. And
I heard you, I heard your cackle from downstairs, and I was like, damn it, they're having so much fun. That's my
wife. I heard your cackle. That's my wife.
I heard your cackle. I heard your cackle from the Hamptons all the way back to Brooklyn.
Here's why I give it a 4.5 from a Sex and the City standpoint, which is we've kind of been, they kind of just like, I wasn't expecting it, but it kind of just jumped in. Maybe it was because we've been off for a week, a month or whatever, but it was like, oh, this is a big moment. This is Charlotte's wedding, the one she's always wanted. And I thought they tackled sort of like, I don't think they're going to change her whole character, but they kind of like, this was a bit of a culmination of six seasons of Kristen Davis's storyline, which is like, you have to have everything perfect. It's not going to make you happy.
Yeah.
Totally. And it happened quickly.
That's very true.
But it did. I was like, that bathroom scene, I was like, that's kind of crazy. That is like an entire television show worth of a character being like, this is what it's all been leading up to.
Damn, that's it, true. I went too low. All right. You got
John,
it.
John, now you know what it, now you know what it's like to be in my world, John.
I went too low.
I'm always doing that. Anyway, go ahead, Kevin. Sorry.
But the rest of the week storyline, I just forgive because there was, they had to, you have to lose something to have time for not just Harry, not just Anthony and what's his name?
Stanford,
but also some great Harry moments. So yeah. I give 4.5. I thought it was great, and it was just like fun. I was super, super, super tired today. And it was just like fun to watch it and fun to hang with you guys. And so I give it a 4.5 because I was like, man, it's so, so great that we got to get back to business.
That's right.
I love that.
We got to Mulan it up.
To defeat the Hun. I love you guys. This was a great pod. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. Thank you. All of the new reviews on iTunes. If you haven't already, please, please, please go write us a review. It really makes us happy. We text about it. We call each other. We celebrate. It just makes us feel like the bells of the ball. And if you haven't already, please check out our Patreon. We're doing some pretty fun stuff over there. We're getting a little more silly, a little more loose.
We're starting a movie club. We're doing more Sex in the City stuff. We're going to be introducing some new content. And I don't know. We should do a Zoom. We'll do a Zoom hangout, too. We just went to a few Zoom events with some friends, and they were actually like really beautiful. And it made me be like, man, we should do that with our listeners.
Yeah.
It would be dope.
So please check that out. And in the meantime, thank you so much for listening. And later, taters.
Later, taters.
Later, taters.
The Bradshaw Boys stars Corey Cavan, Kevin James Doyle, and John Sieber. The show is produced by me, Jeremy Balin, and narrated by Katie Sieber. This podcast is part of the Seltzer Kings Network. Check out all their great podcasts at seltzerkings.com. You can find the boys on their socials at The Bradshaw Boys or on their website at thebradshawboys.com. And as always, if you see them in the street, tip your glass. Thanks for listening.